I want to tell you a little story about a pig and a hen that shared the same farmyard. And one day they heard about the local church's program to feed the hungry. And the pig and the hen, they thought and they discussed how they could possibly help. And the hen then came up with an idea. The hen said, "I've got it. We'll provide bacon and eggs for the church to feed the hungry." The pig thought about this suggestion, and he thought about it, and he said to the hen, "There's just the one problem with your bacon and egg solution. For you, it only requires a contribution. But for me, it's going to mean total commitment." And you know, that is the cost of true discipleship. And we read today from 1 Kings 19, and I know there was no mention of bacon and eggs for Elisha and Elijah, but we want to look today at how Elisha was called by God to succeed Elijah. And Elisha's commitment in the way that he burns his oxen and the chariot as an offering to God. Elisha was fully committed, and there was no turning back. As we turn again to look at this passage, we want to break it into the following three headings. Firstly, God's message of hope, accepting God's call, and no turning back. Firstly, as we look at God's message of hope. As we have been reminded before, Elijah was just a man like us. And the further we get into the story of Elijah, I think that becomes more obvious. We sometimes think of the men and women in Scripture as being somehow different from us, being somehow a superior bunch of people from what we are. But you know, if we look at James chapter 5, James tells us that Elijah was a man just like us. Or in the New Living Translation, as translated, that Elijah was as human as we are. I'm sure many of us can identify with the story of Elijah. We have seen Elijah at his highest point and also at his lowest point through chapters 18 and 19. In chapter 18, he was on a real high when God answered prayer by sending fire down to burn the sacrifice in Mount Carmel, enabling Elijah to triumph over the prophets of Baal. And again, God answered Elijah's prayer by sending rain upon the land after 3 years without rain. But now, in chapter 19, we find Elijah at his lowest point. He had been sent a threat by Jezebel in verse 2, that she was going to have him killed within 24 hours. And Elijah was afraid, and he ran away. He was physically exhausted. He was full of self-pity. He argued with God, and he told the sovereign God that he'd had enough. Elijah was at a point where he was ready for giving up. Giving up his divine role as a prophet, even to the point of giving up on life itself. Elijah had moved from the mountaintop of triumph to the valley of testing and despair. But you know, God is a great God, and he is in control of each and every situation. He was with Elijah at the mountaintop of triumph, but he was also with him in the valley of despair and testing. And God dealt patiently and tenderly with Elijah, and he does the same with us in our depths of despair. And when we're ready to give up, God is with us as we move from those mountaintops of triumph to the valleys of despair. Don't give up on God, even through the hardest of times. Our hope is in the Lord, and God is there for us. You know, God didn't rebuke Elijah. He didn't tell him to snap out of it. Instead, we read in verse 8 that God provided Elijah with food and drink to give him the strength to travel for 40 days and 40 nights until he reached the mountain of God, Mount Horeb, where he went into a cave and he spent the night. And then the Lord came to him and asked him the question, "What are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing here?" Again, Elijah's reply was self-centered and evasive. But God asked him to go out and to stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord in verse 11. And God demonstrated his almighty power by reminding his servant that even nature itself is obedient to God. Through the powerful wind that tore the mountain apart, through the earthquake, and through the fire, God showed that he's in control. He's in control of everything in creation, and that we too should be obedient to the Lord God Almighty. Maybe it's God asking us that question this morning. What are you doing here in our time of discouragement and despair? Are we hiding from God? Have we gone into our own cave? Is there something going on in our life that had caused us to turn away from God? We do go through hard times, testing times, and it is difficult sometimes to understand how we're going to get through it. And so often we can be like Elijah and fall into discouragement and depression, to be full of self-pity, and to even argue with God about how life has treated us. But God understands. He understands each of our situations as we struggle through them, and he deals with us lovingly. God is patient. God is kind. But he still asks the question, "What are you doing here?" Because of his love for us and his desire for us to return to service, as God has a job for us to do. Secondly, I want to look at accepting God's call. In verses 19 to 21, we see Elijah again coming back to obey the Lord. And God still had work for Elijah to do. God spoke in a gentle whisper to Elijah, asking him to go and find Elisha, son of Shaphat. And he gives Elijah the privilege of calling this young man Elisha to succeed him as the next prophet. And you know, this wasn't God's way of punishing Elijah and getting someone else to take over his role or to take over his place as prophet. This was God's way of continuing his work throughout each generation and seeing that people in the next generation are called and trained to do that work. Elijah would basically be a mentor to Elisha, to spend time with him, to train him up, to watch him, so he'd be ready to carry on God's work as the next prophet. And our job too is to obey God, to help carry on the work from generation to generation. And we're called to spend time with others, mentoring and discipling them and preparing them to continue on with God's work. Again, God assured Elijah that his ministry had not been a failure. For we read in verse 17 that there were still 7,000 people in Israel who had not bowed down the knee to Baal, and all whose mouths hadn't kissed him. Even though Elijah at one stage, during his discouragement and depression, he had thought that he was the only one left in Israel that worshipped the true God. But God's saying there's still 7,000 people in Israel. And Elisha was one of those 7,000. But God chose that one person, Elisha. And God asked Elijah to go back the way he came to find him. And Elijah travelled over that long journey of around 150 miles back to Abel Meholah, where he found Elisha out working in the fields. And Elisha was just an ordinary young man out in the farm doing his day's work. But God had chosen Elisha to succeed Elijah as prophet. I sort of mentioned tongue-in-cheek to the children, you know, would you not have thought if Elisha was to be the next prophet, should he not have been studying at the College of Prophets or doing a degree in prophecy work or spending time in the local temple considering his next career move? No, that wasn't the case. We read in verse 19 that Elisha was to be found at his place of work, ploughing in the fields. And the Colossians 3, verse 23, Paul wrote, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men." If we are diligent and devoted to the tasks that God has called us to do today, we're going to be better prepared for any ministry God may call us to tomorrow. And Elisha was prepared as he worked tirelessly in the fields. And God calls each of us, as ordinary men and women, to go and to do his work. Has God been calling you recently to do his work? It might be to go to another land to spread the gospel. It might be to serve here in the church. It might be to go and speak to someone in your work, in your family, or in your local community. As God calls us to serve, we need to listen and to be obedient and willing to get up and go and to serve. And thirdly, no turning back. What do we know about Elisha? We read today that he was ploughing with 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12th pair. This in itself probably indicates that he and his family had probably quite a lot of land, probably quite well off, having the luxury of 24 expensive animals. And you know, I imagine Elisha was probably content with his life. He probably enjoyed his day-to-day work. And there's certainly no reason to suggest that he was expecting a visitor at work in the form of Elijah that day. And in verse 19, we read that Elijah went up to Elisha and threw his cloak around him. To us, that seems a rather strange gesture for someone to come up and throw their coat around your shoulders. But a cloak in those days was the most important article of clothing that someone could have. It would have been used to protect from the wind and the rain, probably used for sleeping on, and it was also sometimes torn into pieces to show grief at a time of sadness. Elijah didn't actually say a word to Elisha, but Elisha knew the significance of the cloak being draped around him. And he knew instantly that the cloak was to indicate that the Lord had called him to be God, to be Elijah's successor. And what was Elijah's response? In verse 20, we read, "Elisha then left his oxen and ran after Elijah. 'Let me kiss my father and mother goodbye,' he said, 'and then I will come with you.'" It almost sounds as if he was making an excuse, like the man in Luke 9, verse 61, when Jesus said, "Follow me," And the man replied, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. But Jesus knew that that man in Luke's gospel, that his motives were not right, and he knew that he was using his family as an excuse to delay following Christ. And Jesus' reply to that man was, no one who puts his hand to the plough and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. Jesus wants our total dedication and commitment. And he wants us to count the cost of following him and be willing to abandon everything that has given us security and to trust in Christ alone, who died on the cross for our sins. But in Elisha's case, his motives were right. His response in 1 Kings 19 was in total obedience to God. He was ready. He was ready to step out in faith and to take on the role of being God's prophet. He wasn't making excuses. He was a family man, working in the family farm, and he wanted to say goodbye to his father and mother. His motives were genuine, and he had absolutely no hesitation in following after God. And again, we see that Elisha proved his commitment in verse 21. We read in verse 21, so Elisha left him and went back. He took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. He burned the ploughing equipment to cook the meat, and he gave it to the people, and they ate it. Then he set out to follow Elijah and become his attendant. Isn't that amazing? Elisha took the oxen, which he had been using to plough, and he slaughtered them, and he burned the wood off the plough to cook the meat and throw a party for all the people. He was basically burning his bridges behind him. He had no intention of taking his hand off the plough and then going back to it. This was a big party for the people gathered there, but it was also a big thanks offering from Elisha to the Lord who chose him. Elisha was fully committed to follow God in this service, and he had absolute no desire to return to his old way of life after destroying the oxen and the plough. I'm reminded of that story that we read in Matthew chapter 4 earlier, when Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, and he saw the two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew, who were both fishermen, and they were casting a net into the lake. And Jesus said, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And we read that these two men immediately left their nets and followed Jesus. They too were ready to give up their ordinary jobs as fishermen to go and to follow Christ. Jesus bore our sins on the cross. He paid the price in full. And he's looking for our full commitment to follow him and to serve him always. In our story earlier this morning, we saw that the pig was going to have to make a full commitment to provide bacon for the church's program to feed the hungry, whereas the hen was only going to make a small contribution of an egg. Are we committed like Elisha and these fishermen, ready to go and serve God wherever he calls us? He calls us to follow him, and he also calls us to serve him in his kingdom. Christ has great plans for us. Are we willing, like Elisha, to turn our backs on our old way of life and to follow and to serve him?